Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello everyone, hello football fans around the world, welcome to the Squawkers Talk. My name is Nick English and today we are talking about Tottenham Hotspur. It's the Spurs pre-season special and I'm joined today by staff writer Oliver Young-Miles. Hello Ollie.
Hello Nick.
How's it going?
Yeah, good mate. How are you?
No, good.
Pod debut.
Well, second.
Second?
Yeah, you must have missed the first one.
Oh, I missed the first one. God, where was I? Terrible scenes. Also joining us, chief reporter Greg Stobart. Hello Greg.
Hello Nick.
How's
hello
going?
Ollie. Hello, Rich, you haven't introduced yet.
I haven't introduced Rich, I'll get
straight
to
the game away there.
And we're very glad to be joined by Rich Parry from Evening Standard. Hello, Rich, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks, Nick.
Excellent. Yeah. It's quite warm in here, isn't it?
It's toasty.
Yeah, it's toasty in the podcast room. We won't make it too much of a long one. Let's talk about Spurs. Rich, a fairly solid pre-season from Spurs. I mean, there was obviously that early hiccup against Juve when basically they were playing the second string, but some really solid performances after they had every single first teamer coming back from Copa America or the Euros or whatever. I mean, what are your impressions of Spurs' pre-season?
Mixed, I'd say. I mean, it's, you know, all the games are being played in Australia for a start, which is always a little bit odd. With so many players on, you know, international duty during the summer, it's a bit of they're playing catch-up, really, you know. Poch got a good look at the squad players he's got against, well, essentially Champions League opposition and that kind of thing. Some struggled, some performed. But, you know, against Inter, they really turned it on. But I don't know. I don't know how much you can read into it at this stage.
Yeah, there's not much you can say, really, because we've only seen the first team once, and that was against Inter, an awful, woeful Inter side. I was a bit concerned when I saw that he hadn't taken the boys who played at the Euros. Only Kevin Wimmer went to Australia, but actually when you look at it now, that journey, those games, they would only have been doing fitness anyway. And the whole point with Tottenham is they know each other so well. Tottenham have not shaken up their squad like Manchester United or Manchester City or even Chelsea. It's pretty much same as, with a bit of strength in depth now, and I think they'll be okay.
Ollie, is it a case that maybe Pochettino, we know, is very demanding physically on the players? Will this trip and, you know, sort of his double training session routine, could that have an effect on the players as we go into the early stage of the season?
I don't think it's a slight concern. I think Spurs travelled the most of any Premier League club this summer. But the players are used to it. As Stope said, the squad is settled. They all know what to expect from him. The only new player who hasn't worked with him before is Janssen. Obviously, Wanyama worked with him before. So I think the players are used to it. I think the main thing for them is just juggling Champions League this year, but we'll have to see how that plays out.
Who have been the breakthrough stars for you in this preseason? Who's really sort of shone the brightest?
I've been really impressed with Harry Winks, actually. I think he's shown enough to suggest that he can usurp Tom Carroll and Ryan Mason in the pecking order. I think he's got a bit of both players about him. He can pass the ball, and he's got that physicality as well that Tom Carroll doesn't have, and the energy and pace as well to go with it. So I've been really impressed with him in particular.
I think Harry Winks is the one, actually. I think Spurs would sell Tom Carroll or Ryan Mason before the end of the summer window, and that's because they're pretty happy with Harry Winks to come in and do that job. And I guess that's the point with Australia. With Pochettino, anyone can get a chance. He will promote anyone. He doesn't even care about age. We saw it last year with Dele Alli. So to see someone like Marcus Edwards, who's been hyped since he was 14, 15, actually playing for the first team, it's really exciting. It might be a year too early for him, but Harry Winks looks ready now. He basically did what Marcus Edwards did this year, last year. He was a little bit involved in and out. Pochettino didn't let him leave on loan because he wanted him around the squad. And Pochettino, actually, if you get loaned out like Alex Pritchard last year, you might be in trouble. It probably means that he doesn't fancy you. Mm. But the likes of Josh Onoma and Harry Winks, he kept them around the squad because he wanted them to play with the first team every day and to learn from his methods. And I think that's really important.
Rich, any other players who, to you, have really sort of taken the opportunity of pre-season to make a mark on the first team or get themselves involved on the fringes?
Yeah, I mean, Lamella, I think we'd all agree. Well, we do all agree. Has looked absolutely amazing.
Nodding doesn't convert well to audio.
I mean, he's looked amazing. You know, he's shown a little bit of leadership, I think, at times, particularly in those opening couple of games when, you know, the likes of Harry Kane weren't there and that sort of thing. He's been scoring goals. He's looking more accomplished and kind of more economical in terms of his sort of attacking play. He'll spray the ball out wide rather than going for that extra touch and that kind of thing. So yeah, he's looked good, but Darren Bent looked good a few years ago.
It's a good point, but I think that Lamella seems to have that aggression about him, doesn't he, Stobes? He's a really physical player. He's really hard, gritty player.
I think this is going to be a big season for Eric Lamella, and Rich mentioned how well he's played in pre-season. It's kept being exciting, Tottenham fans, but it was the back end of last season as well. And in the big games, he was Tottenham's best player against Arsenal twice. Assists against Chelsea, for example, Man City. He really stepped up. And he arrived at Tottenham, everyone thinking he was this silky goal scorer who'd scored 15 goals in Serie A that season, and he just turned into sort of a horrible fouling little git, really. But now, I think we're about to see a bit of both, I think. We see the goal he scored against Inter.
A fouling git who can score goals.
He scored goals and make goals, and he's got the mentality as well, and he's always fought. I mean, I'd almost given up on Eric Lamella from a Tottenham perspective a year or two ago, but he's got a big future still at Tottenham, and he's still young as well, and he could have a huge season.
I think Stobes is right about Lamella. Pochettino's sort of turned him from this sort of fancy showboating type player into just a warrior. Just like, it's like Simeone. You watch Simeone with players like Arda Turan, turning them into just all-round attackers. And Lamella is that player for Tottenham, I think.
Ollie, I mean, obviously Lamella is a player who used to be the source of much amusement for rival clubs. And now no fullback wants to face him because he's so physical and he's so difficult and he's got great technique. I mean, are there any players who've left you wanting during preseason? Any players who've kind of thought, oh, that's not quite good enough for the first team? Anyone who's not quite shone as brightly as you expected?
There's a couple of the young players, I think, struggled.
Mm-hmm.
Janssen, I think, in his first two games, didn't look particularly good, I don't think. I think the goal against Inter will give him a big confidence boost, though. I think it's more about the players who haven't been involved at all. Mm. People like Chadli, he was left behind in the last game.
Bad sign.
Yeah, so you've got a fear for him, I think, for his future. But on the whole, I think there's been quite a lot of promising displays and not too much really to worry about, I think.
Rich, it's a good point that Ollie makes. I mean, Janssen got 23 goals in 20 games in 2016 for club and country. I mean, that goal against Inter, I mean, it will do wonders for his confidence, won't it? Because he really did look a bit off the pace in the previous two preseason friendlies.
Yeah, he did. And to be honest, it's difficult when you're trying to bring in a striker and you've got Harry Kane, who's so young, and everyone knows if he's fit, he's going to be playing. It's kind of who you're going to bring in for that. Janssen's got a good technique. He's a good finisher. And yeah, like Ollie said, he struggled in those opening games. But around, when he's playing alongside better players and when all his task is really just to finish, he'll do well. If it means just coming off the bench, getting the odd goal here and there, that'll be fine. As long as he keeps, the right attitude, should be good.
Stobes, we've been talking on all these preseason pods. We've been looking at what the managers are sort of looking forward to for the season and what the issues that they have to face, either with personnel or with formation or squad deficiencies. And you look at Spurs' squad and you look at the contentment of all those players. I mean, Pochettino hasn't got a lot to deal with in terms of visible issues, does he?
No, but that's credit to Pochettino for what he did last summer and the summer before, when he's got rid of the likes of Adebayor, Kabul, Aaron Lennon. He created his own squad, and fair play to the club, because this was Daniel Levy's last gamble, really, on Pochettino, last real gamble at a manager. And he backed him, and he's let Pochettino do exactly what he wants. And the fact is, with Pochettino, he's a lovely guy. A lot of the players love him, but it's his way or the highway, and he's been ruthless as well. And we've seen that with someone like Nabil Bentaleb, who was fantastic in Pochettino's first season, and now today was training with the under-21 squad while Pochettino was giving his press conference ahead of the Everton game. And I think that just shows that Pochettino's done exactly what he wants, and he demands a lot, and in return, they enjoy it and they get respect. And I think the players love him, to be honest.
Well, we actually caught up with Jamie Redknapp to talk a bit more about his opinion of the Spurs manager.
I think they probably had the most difficult job at Tottenham, because when you look at the other teams, I think it's hard to pick their 11. But when I you could go through it with Tottenham. You've got Lloris in goal, you've got Kyle Walker, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Danny Rose, and then you've got Dier, Dembele, Dele Alli, and then you could go to sort of Lamella, Kane, and I'm trying to think who played on the left-hand side. But, you can name 10, they've got Janssen probably. So you can name their 11, they're probably their strongest 11, whereas I don't think any other clubs can. So from Mauricio Pochettino, he's probably hardest job to in terms of, he doesn't want to upset the balance of the team, doesn't want to get any, give competition is healthy, but you also, you've got your mainstay of players. But he needs a couple in because of the Champions League that they've got coming up, and they're going to have a big squad for that. Because unlike the Europa League last year, where they'd swap fullbacks, or you know, maybe rest one or two players, I think the Champions League you can't do that, because you'll come unstuck and you'll go out in the group phase. So I can't wait to see how they do. But I love Pochettino. I think he's a great manager, as good as any of them here. I'm talking about Pep Guardiola as well, and he'll prove that. You know, so I can't wait to see how Tottenham do, and I think they'll go close. I certainly think they're a top four side, but they don't need a lot of players. They don't need too many players, and I think that's what makes it difficult for them and how they get better.
Jamie Redknapp there, waxing lyrical about Mauricio Pochettino, and so far, everything the Argentinian has done has been very, very impressive. He's also been impressive, Ollie, in the transfer market. He's bought sparingly, but again, he's been ruthless in getting rid of the deadwood, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think for Spurs, the two glaring issues that needed to be sorted have been sorted. We've finally got an alternative competition to Harry Kane up front. Last season, everyone knows already, but he played every single game last season, and Spurs were just massively, massively lucky he didn't get injured. And in midfield as well. Again, at the end of last season, Dembele was suspended, and the replacements that came in for him just weren't good enough. And in Wanyama, we've got a proven Premier League player who's also played in the Champions League for Celtic as well. So those are the two glaring issues that have been solved. I think maybe one more could be useful. Probably a winger. But yeah, I'm sure Stoves knows a bit more about the Nkudu deal and what happened there.
Yeah, we'll get to Nkudu very shortly. I mean, you mentioned Victor Wanyama. Mm. Only Aaron Ramsey has more combined tackles and interceptions over the past two seasons than Victor Wanyama, and he's been doing that at Southampton. He's a real destroyer of the player. I mean, one thing I found quite interesting was looking at the players that Pochettino's managed to farm out over the past three seasons. Fazio, Pritchard, Soldado, Townsend, Paulinho, Capoue, Stambouli, Chiriches, Holby, Lennon, Kabul, Sigurdsson, Sandro, Livermore, Norton, Dawson, Friars, Falke. I mean, Stoves, this is just a list of players that aren't good enough to play for a Champions League level club. Pochettino's been ruthless, but really, really good at assessing which players need to stay in the squad and which players need to go, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think you back his judgment when you've seen, and the players he's brought in and the players and his team selection more often than not is perfect. The players he's let go, you've not seen any of them really go and shine elsewhere. Even someone like Gylfi Sigurdsson, you kind of get the impression that he's better off as a big fish in a smaller pond than in and out of the Tottenham team. So I think Pochettino's played it perfectly, and he's Daniel Levy's dream manager, isn't he? Because he doesn't need a massive squad. He's happy to play the young players and give them a chance. He improves players. He backs himself on the training ground. And yeah, I think he's done an unbelievable job. And next stage, I guess, is to challenge for the title again.
Rich, I mean, obviously the two big transfers, Wanyama and Janssen, that, as Ollie said, plugged two crucial gaps in the squad. But I guess the biggest transfer news for Spurs this window is they haven't lost any first teamers.
No.
It's an intact squad, isn't it? That's great news.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking to renew a number of contracts. We reported on The Standard a few weeks ago about Christian Eriksen. I mean, he's turned down a new offer, but, you know, in all sense and purpose, he is, you know, he wants to stay, is what we're hearing anyway. And it's just the, you know, the wage structure they have at Spurs. It's very, very, you know, disciplined, very much, you know, 80 grand with, you know, previous exceptions of Adebayor and that kind of thing, with City part funding that, as we all know.
There's quite a lot of surprises, Stobes, in terms of wage bill. You know, sort of for specific players at Spurs, isn't there?
Yeah, I was going to say that's one of the benefits of trimming the squad and getting rid of all these players is you freed up wage space to reward the players that you really want to build your squad around. And I do think Spurs recognise that they're at the stage that they're going to have to break the wage structure a little bit. At the moment, you've got Moussa Dembele and Hugo Lloris on around £75,000 to £80,000 a week as the top earners. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the likes of Christian Eriksen, Harry Kane, Dele Alli earning £35,000, which isn't enough money considering Harry Kane could go to Man United and earn £250,000 a week probably. So that's a big thing for Tottenham. They're going to have to start paying players £100,000 a week, and that's what they recognise, which is why they're not spending the big transfer fees. It's going to go on the wages, and I think that's a good philosophy.
Ollie, is there a risk that, say, Spurs have another great season, another season of Champions League football, there's a couple of players approaching the near end of their contract, is there a chance that some of them might get itchy feet and Man City come in with a 150 grand a week offer? That, is there a worry that the spine might be ripped out of this side? Or they look really happy and they work really well together, don't they?
I think it all depends on how successful the club are, basically. As Stope said, they're all very happy playing for Pochettino. But there comes a point where players want to win trophies. So it's whether Tottenham can make that extra jump, mm-hmm. go from a very good team to an elite team and start winning trophies. It's been a long time since Spurs won a trophy. So that's the next step, I think.
And of course, a lot of it depends on Pochettino's future, which is why it's massive that he signed that 5-year contract, mm. because huge. All these players, if Pochettino ends up going to Real Madrid next summer, then Dele Alli, Harry Kane, Eric Dier,
Vertonghen,
mm. Lamella, they'll all be thinking about what's next for me, won't they? So it's massive for Tottenham that they managed to tie Pochettino down to a new contract.
Rich, is there anything left on Pochettino's shopping list? I mean, Ollie mentioned maybe getting another winger in. They've got Heung-Min Son and Lamella, maybe a couple of younger options. Is there anything left? That there any obvious gap in that squad where you think, we need another player there?
Yeah, well, I think they need certainly another option just behind Harry Kane. One thing that Pochettino loves is versatility. That's part of the reason why Townsend went, because he's only good on one particular flank. And, you know, Chadley's probably been given a little bit more time than others because he does at least offer, you know, that option across the three. Mm-hmm. But then it depends, you know. I mean, they're trying to get, well, they've been looking at Nkudu from Marseille. But then if you've got Marcus Edwards coming through, it might be a little bit soon for him. But as Greg said, because they want to promote from, you know, from the lower ranks, from the youth, I mean, they've spent enough money on their academy. That's what it's there for. I think they're, you know, whilst Levy sort of, you know, crosses the T's and whatnot and tries to lower the transfer fees, I think it gives more time for those youngsters, and they have impressed.
Stobes, what's the latest on the Nkudu deal? I mean, what's the status on that?
Mate, it's so weird. I mean, last I heard, he'd been in a hotel in London for 2.5 weeks.
Two and a half weeks.
I really hope he's gone back to France now.
Stop them,
because it's not exactly. It's not on the verge of happening anymore. I think the changes at Marseille, they changed their president and their whole top brass.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
I think it's become very political and quite difficult with that. I think Spurs have tried to move the goalpost a little bit because they agreed this 13, 40 million euro deal for Nkudu, and then everyone started telling him they were overpaying and that he was no better than Clinton Ng, who's going to go the other way. And I think Spurs maybe got a little bit of cold feet. Eventually, I'd expect it to happen, but Spurs are in no rush because the whole point is the first 11 last year was really good. As Ollie was saying earlier, the first 11 was fine. Maybe they could get a little bit of stardust. You wanted someone to dribble past players, but the main thing this summer is to bulk up the squad. They've got Wanyama, defensive midfield cover. They've got the striker, a winger, and like Rich said, a number 10 as well. I think this is where, especially if you're wondering whether Christian Eriksen might leave as he's in the last year of his contract, you get a really young hotshot. Someone like Ante Koric at Dynamo Zagreb or Younes Mali at Mainz, they're the players they're looking at, and I think that would be a really sensible signing.
Ollie, you were nodding furiously there at the mention of that young little crow.
Well, Koric, the new Modric.
The new Modric, yeah.
We could do with one of those.
Yeah, we could do with another Modric.
Yeah. I just think, yeah, what Stobes is saying, though, I think the starting 11 is so, so settled. I think from February onwards, basically last season, everyone could name what the Tottenham team was going to be. Mm. So one potential issue for them is, well, any signing coming in, they've got to think, oh, am I going to get in the starting 11? You know, that could be a potential issue for Spurs.
Can be quite healthy, though, to have that sort of something to aim at, especially for the younger players.
Yeah, and to be honest as well, the starting 11 needs to be kept on their toes. I think last season, bar the fullbacks and the wingers, everyone knew that they were going to play every week just because the competition wasn't good enough. Mm. So maybe strengthening one or two places could make them even better next season.
So let's talk a little bit about expectations for Spurs. I mean, last season was joint second highest points tally in Premier League history for Spurs. Really positive season, you know, real title challenge. Rich, what are the expectations for, well, first of all, for the fans in terms of what they expect to happen this season, because a lot of the other big clubs have been buying a lot of players. And also, what are the expectations from the board? What are Levy's expectations?
Well, I mean, from the fans, who knows really where they're going to draw the line at their expectations. You know, they came close to winning the league, and in a weird way, even though they finished below Arsenal, they kind of put up more of a title fight. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that we've said, they're a settled bunch. You know, they haven't really weakened at all. They've brought in the players that they've needed, and, you know, they look great, you know, going into the new season, which is very rare at Spurs. But then all of their rivals have strengthened. You know, in previous seasons, maybe when Tottenham finished fourth a few years back and you'd have the likes of, say, Liverpool just or Chelsea just trying to fight their way back into the top four, but now you've got the likes of Man United, you've got Chelsea, you also have Liverpool. And then you know, with Leicester winning the league last year, you have the likes of West Ham, you know, who knows what they're going to do this year. Everton are looking fantastic now. They've got Koeman in charge. So I think Tottenham really need to be aiming for that top five. And I think this season, although top five sounds, you know, it sounds poor compared to what happened last season, but top five is actually a big thing now with the number of big teams that, you know, are in the league. I think they'll be battling between third and fifth. They're not going to win the league, in my opinion. They're not going to finish second.
Stopes, this does feel like a watershed transfer market and a really, it feels a lot more important this season going into it, because so many clubs have, with the new TV deal, there's a lot of money on the line, and getting Champions League this season, I mean, that must be sort of a realistic expectation for Spurs and for Daniel Levy and Pochettino.
Yeah, I think Champions League's the aim. But I love Pochettino's ambition. I was at his press conference today and he was saying the target is to win the league.
Really?
But he's so ambitious and I love that because he wants to improve every season. If you aim for first and you finish fourth, you still had a good season. But if you're aiming for fourth, you're much more likely to fail. And that's his philosophy. He's always trying to drive them, always trying to improve. And he was actually asked as well about the other clubs spending money. Of course, it's going to be more difficult this year. But I loved his reply. He said, everyone else is spending money. It probably suggests that they're a bit worried that their squad was too weak in the first place, and that Mourinho's come in and looked at the squad and said, oh my God, we need to spend £150 million. This is a load of rubbish. He said, I'm sitting here quite happy and quiet and calm because I know I've got a really good squad, and I really like the way he presented that.
That's interesting. Ollie, who are going to be the breakthrough stars? Well, not breakthrough stars. Who are going to be the most important players for Spurs this season? I think we know there's one in particular who's going to be quite important.
Who's that?
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Mate, there are so many. You can say this. Lloris, Alderweireld, Dyer, Ali, Kane.
The spine of that team is very, very strong, yeah.
The spine is outstanding, but let's talk about Harry Kane, because I want to talk about him. Because I've got a great stat about Harry Kane.
Go on, you do your stat.
I'll do my stat. My stat is that Harry Kane has 80 goals to Shearer 65 at the same age of 23. He's scoring Premier League goals at a rate of 0.59 goals per game. At the same age, at the same sort of level of experience, Shearer was scoring 0.28 goals per game in the league. I mean, by every conceivable measure, Harry Kane is an absolute phenomenon, isn't he?
Yeah, he's outstanding. Obviously, I think he went the first eight games last season without scoring. A lot of question marks on him. There's similar question marks, I think, this season following the Euros. People are sort of doubting him again. But he's proven now. It's 2 years with over 20 goals in the Premier League, which, I mean, it's been a long, long time since people have done that back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
He's just an outstanding player. And with Janssen coming in, I think that can only help him. He's going to be kept on his toes a little bit more. And Janssen could even partner him at times as well, which is a good option to have.
Rich, who else do you think is really going to stand out for Spurs this season? I mean, you've already mentioned Lamella.
A dark horse, I'd say, is Heung-min Son. I'd say for Spurs. I think he's going to really flourish in the Champions League. Obviously, he's, you know, at the Olympics at the moment, taking a while to come back. But I think people forget that, yes, he struggled at times last season, but when he was brought into the club, even in their wildest dreams, they didn't think they'd be competing for a title. I think that affects someone when they're trying to settle in. And I just think, you know, a year on, he seems to get on with the guys. You know, he seems to, you know, joke around with them and stuff. I think, yeah, he could really push on this year.
Yeah, he's a really good player, and I think you definitely, someone like Clinton NG came in, and from the first training session, I think they thought, oh, we might have dropped one here, he's not that good. But with Son, you can see the signs, a bit like we were talking about with Lamella, and with Pochettino, you back him to improve these players. You always give a player coming from abroad, you always give them two seasons anyway, and we've seen what Pochettino's managed to do with the likes of, you know, Danny Rose, Kyle Walker, Eric Lamella. He really improves players, and it's a real shame actually for Son that he's had to go to the Olympics, because with a full pre-season with the squad, he might have had more of a chance to start and really hit the ground running.
We've almost run out of time, but what I want to ask all of you is what you're looking forward to most this season. I'll start with you, Ollie. What are you looking forward to from a Spurs point of view this season?
It's got to be Champions League football, hasn't it? It's been 5 years now since we were in the Champions League. I remember that season so well. It was obviously the Bale Inter games were, you know, probably the best I've seen as a Spurs fan. Yeah, exactly. So just that returning, it's going to be such a lift for the club, particularly as well, because it wasn't really expected. This time last year, you've got to think, no one would have put Spurs top four. People were thinking maybe sixth, seventh even.
Mm-hmm.
So just having that competition back is a real boost. And selling out Wembley for it as well is going to be, you know, really interesting to see as well.
Bobes, what are you looking forward to this season?
Tottenham's last season ever at White Hart Lane, it'd be fantastic if they can have a really good season to see them out. One of the best, most historic stadiums in the Premier League. They've got a great young team full of English players playing fantastic football, and it'll be pretty emotional. I think they've got Man United, their last home game, a bit like West Ham last year. That'd be a very special moment, I think.
Be great. Rich, I'll give you the last word. What are you looking forward to from Spurs this season?
It's going to sound really dull, but it's like a combination of the two, really. I think the Champions League in particular and those nights at Wembley are going to be amazing because, yes, it's, you know, a bigger stadium and what have you, but it offers a little glimpse of what Tottenham will be like in years to come. You know, the pitch is wider. Pochettino's moaned about that, about how narrow White Hart Lane is and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it should get some different styles. And it's, I don't know, with leaving White Hart Lane as well, it has that romance that West Ham had last season, but with just a little bit more on the line.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you to Ollie, Greg and Rich. Rich from the Evening Standard. Follow them on Twitter. And follow Squawker on Twitter. And subscribe on iTunes to the Squawker Talker. We'll be back next week with our more regular Squawker Talker action. Greg and I are away, so Neil will be hosting. And he'll do a very good job, no doubt. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.